Hello. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Angels in Politics podcast. This is the White Collar Goon, and you are tuned into the segment Journals to Confections, which is Confections in Psychology, written by none other than himself, the White Collar Goon, detailing my times whilst abroad working on the water. Cruise ship life. All right. So this is excerpt number 4 from the journal. And I wrote this around, well, it says August 29th, okay? And I got there in mid-July, so about a month and a half in. And here we go. To be fair, I don't know why I was feeling some kind of way last night, but I was. I had a few beverages. You know how I tend to mix my wine and beer, and I was enjoying myself when I kept, what is that word? Oh, when I kept seeing this woman, okay? The same woman from the first all-crew party. Now, I'm not going to stunt because you know I don't, you know I don't use the terms to degrade a woman. Wait, let me go back. Now, I'm not going to stunt because you know I don't use terms to degrade women based on their behavior. But to be honest, I was jealous. This chick just bounces from table to table, dude to dude. She bats her eyes and twirls her hair at every motherfucker in the room. And it normally doesn't bother me, but last night it did. Last night it did. It's like, what is it about teasing motherfuckers? Like, why do girls do that? Is it about attention? Is she actually fucking hella niggas? Or is it just a front? Like, you know, like, I told myself last night that I've had it. I'm gonna go back to my old ways, and it's time to start fucking. I'm talking, like, really. Like, fuck it. I tried the cool shit. I've done the nice shit. Now, I'm about to hit them with the real deal. The White Collar Goon will be making an appearance tonight and from now on. It might as well be Evil Red Flame Edition. That's a little B reference. Shout out to the bass guy. But I still want to maintain a relatively good reputation. I can't allow shit to get out of hand like my freshman year of college, but it's time to put the M on my forehead like I'm Vegeta. Back whenever he was on that Majin Vegeta stage, okay? Homegirl brought the goon back out. And it is time. Alright, so that's where I left off, or that's where I finished that. I'm gonna, you know, give you a little bit of insight as to that situation. So this young lady is fit, you know, she's attractive, and put it this way, she would have been the type of girl, no, she is the type of girl that I like, that I tend to like her features, put it that way. So she caught my eye whenever I was there, and you know, I noticed her, and we talked and we spoke at a party, and I can't say became close, but you know how that goes at parties, right? And a few days later, or maybe a week or two later, you know, I would see her, you know, okay, because working on the ship, everything is inclusive, everything is together, you see the same people every day, you're in the same quarters for food and for the bar, and everybody sleeps relatively in the same quarters. So, you know, there's no way around people once you have a relationship, or if you have any type of situation with somebody, like, you can't dodge them, especially on a cruise ship, because just like the saying, we're all in the same boat. For people who work on the seas, they are literally on the same boat with everybody. So, this woman in particular probably aroused or enticed some emotions for me based on the fact that I wasn't assertive or aggressive after that crew party, you know, that first party that we met, or I introduced myself to her, and I don't even know if I introduced myself to her. I think after that party, we kind of, I wouldn't use the word hooked up, but I mean, because that insinuates more than what happened. We kissed at a party, you know, and after that, I didn't follow up, or maybe I wasn't aggressive enough, or I really didn't, you know, it was almost as if she was waiting to see from me, like, all right, bro, are you serious about this? Are you gonna come after this? Are you gonna make a move? Like, I mean, you made a move that night, like, you know, so like, is this a thing? And I didn't, you know, or maybe I was nervous, or maybe whatever the case may be, or maybe I just wasn't active at that time whenever I should have been, because you know how it can go at a crew party or any type of social event. Sometimes when you're on the sauce, a lot of times when you're on the sauce, and as guys, that's whenever we make the moves, quote unquote. That's when you got, you know, that's when you get your second wind, or some people will call it your liquid courage. And, you know, there's a lot of women who would articulate, or they would vocalize how they don't like being hit on in bars because of that reason. Or there's some girls who say, well, there's some girls who say they don't like getting hit on in bars because of that reason, because, you know, guys get drunk and then now all of a sudden they become confident, or now they're outspoken, or now they're like direct and manly. But, you know, 7 days a week, 24/7, you know, any other time, was like, that's not happening. But after the whiskeys have like flowed, and now you're like Clark Kent in this motherfucker, right? But I think, and there's another end of the spectrum whereby there are women who probably say, honestly, like, they don't see guys approaching them at all unless it's at a bar, you know, unless it's alcohol involved, you know. So it's like, not to say they don't find guys at all, but this was just interesting. I talked to some girls from the UK, and she was like relatively young, maybe like 24 or 25, around that time. But she was she was trying to articulate how, like, guys in England, or maybe it was just where she was from, she wasn't from London, so she said guys in England don't approach women, what we will call the cold approach, meaning they're not in the same class, they don't work together, they don't have mutual friends, so there wouldn't be a way to link them together unless somebody made the first move. And in that capacity, she was saying how men don't approach women, or for her case, she was saying how no matter how good you look or how attractive girls are, the guys in her region aren't going to be like, hi, can I take you out for coffee? Or, hi, I'm really interested in you. Like, you know, it's not necessarily like that. And the girl who I'm speaking about on the ship, she was from London. So it's like, I think, she's not dead. You know, she was cool. You know, she's cool. Like, it wasn't, she was easy to talk to. And I don't know, she wasn't some posh, upscale, upper middle class type of girl. She worked, I guess she worked with like cosmetics and makeup, and she liked to party, she liked to drink, you know, she smoked cigarettes. So, you know, she was probably more in alignment with my lifestyle than other girls, or whatever the case may be. But, you know, long story short, it was a interesting time for me when I first got on the ship because of, one, everything that led up to it, you know. I mean, two years prior to that, I was, you know, living overseas, and I had that chapter in my life. Then, you know, returning to the States to see your family and friends and colleagues and, you know, brothers, and, you know, you link up, and it's almost like you time traveled to me. It's almost like I jumped in a rocket ship like Matt McConaughey in Interstellar. And it's like I went up in space and I came back down, and I experienced so much in space, or I experienced so much in my journey and coming back to where you're from, or coming back like down to earth, so to speak, and trying to articulate and fully contextualize your experiences to people who can't even conceptualize or fathom what it is that you did, where did you go, what, you know what I'm saying? Like, that type of thing was going on. So recalibration was, there was a lot of recalibrating going on whenever I was back at home. So me joining the ship, I wasn't like on a roll confidence wise. I wasn't aligned. I wasn't, my mind, body, and soul weren't together. I wasn't clicking on all cylinders, put it that way. I wasn't firing off. I wasn't functioning at an optimal level. So that played into my confidence. That played into my self-esteem, which causes you to judge it, which causes you to think critically of yourself, almost like you want to, like you're putting yourself down, and then you're in this cycle of like dark thoughts, or just thoughts that invoke or evoke negative emotions. And it's like you're in this cloud, you're in this lull, you're in this downward, almost like spiral. And, you know, I wasn't at that. I didn't feel I was at that moment. I didn't feel I was in a downward spiral at that moment. But as I sat there, and I, you know, of course, after you have a few drinks, things start to, you know, get a little misconstrued in your body, or you start to feel the alcohol hits, put it that way. And I'm sitting there looking at this girl, and I really wasn't upset with her. Like, I got jealous because she was out there, you know, flirting away, getting a lot of attention from guys. And I mean, I mentioned this before on the cruise ship, you know, it's an 80 to 20 type of ratio there. So it's like very few, extremely few women in comparison to the men. And she was actually like well fit. You know what I'm saying? She was in her 20s, upper 20s, 28, 29, something like that. And, you know, attractive, and, you know, had confidence. So she stood out. And with every woman stands out, but like she would definitely stand out. So I felt some kind of way. I felt some kind of way about the dynamics. I wish there were more women around, so the competition could be a bit more even, so the supply and demand could be a bit more equal. I kind of wish that I was more direct after the fact. You know, not just whenever I was drinking the vodka and drinking beer. Yeah, you can push up on a girl and kiss her in the face whenever you're rolling like that. But I was beating myself up on the fact that, like, I quote unquote, you know, had that 2 weeks ago, and not had it like sexually, but like I had it in the bag. I could have pursued it. I could have been the guy that, you know, she was sitting with, or I could have been the guy that she was like coming over to, you know, stay the night with. But I wasn't, you know, and I was looking around and I was seeing other people who were, or maybe they weren't at the time. Like, there's no way of you knowing what's going on with other people behind closed doors. But I was seeing that she was open. She was open. She's flirtatious. She very much liked the attention from men, which isn't too hard to grasp. Like, I mean, I definitely enjoy the attention from women. So it's like that, it was just an internal conflict. It was an internal conflict with where I was in life, where I saw myself, how I almost based my confidence. I based my confidence based on my accomplishments, you know, like, or I assessed my confidence level according to my accomplishments. And if I didn't feel, or at that time, I didn't feel accomplished, then everything was affected by that, my mind, my body, and my soul. So that's where I was, you know. And it's funny because I even asked my homegirl who was sitting with me at the bar, and I was like, why do girls do that? Like what's up with this type of shit? Like, why are girls just all about the tease and the game? And she just wasn't having it because she knew. And, she knew, and she even vocalized it to me. She didn't say it straight up that way, but she knew, like, bro, you can date any girl that you want, or you can date her easily. Like, it's not hard for guys to be with women in the sense of learning more about them and spending time. I think a lot of guys shoot themselves in the foot. Not only do I think, I know, because I'm one of them. A lot of us break ourselves down and shoot ourselves in the foot, and you know, we have taken ourselves out of the game before we even put ourselves in the game. You know, like you didn't even give yourself a shot, you know, before you started I don't know, until you started with the self-deprecating like remarks about yourself, the disparaging remarks about yourself, kind of like shows, it's almost like you're portraying to women that you're not worthy. And if you show women that you're not worthy, then they're going to see, or they're going to take that energy and say, well, maybe you're not, like, you're probably not, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you put a woman on a pedestal and you've lowered yourself to make yourself feel inferior because you don't think like you should be even dating a woman like that, or you think she's too pretty because all of your previous girlfriends weren't pretty like that, or you know, whatever the case may be, that's what holds up guys from, I don't know, finding their significant other or just getting the confidence to just speak to women and be comfortable around women. You know, it's like, you know, you've already analyzed how your clothes look, and if you got the right edge up and your hair's cut, and you've already analyzed who she talks to and who she's dating. Because if she's dating other guys, you know, he might have a better job and he might have more money and he might be more established. So why would she want you? And who, you know, it's like you've overthought what the simple aspect of social interactions are, or the you complicated, or you made a complex equation out of something that is very simple. And it's just masculine energy, the divine masculine, the divine feminine, you know, just the polarization of boys and girls, men and women, the polarization of the softness and the softness of women and the strength in men, or the softness in men and the strength in women. Is there needs to be like those polar opposites to arouse or to cultivate a sexual relationship and for a sexual attraction. You know, there needs to be hot and cold, and then the yin and the yang, and men, we have that naturally, and women have that naturally, but you have to be confident. You have to be comfortable with yourself. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Angels in Politics podcast. This is the White Collar Goon. I got a vignette for you that just, that I wrote after my excerpt that I just finished with the homegirl from the ship, the one that had me, quote unquote, in my feelings. Not quote unquote, she did. It goes, I got daughters your age, and I done seen that same shit tenfold, seen that same shit tenfold, seen that same shit frequently. I got daughters your age, and I done seen that same shit tenfold, seen that same shit tenfold, seen that same shit frequently. Got daughters your age, and I done seen that same shit tenfold, seen that same shit ten. Seen that same shit 10. Okay, so the reason why I say that is because it's like, hey man, girls are gonna front, girls are gonna stun, girls are gonna, you know, project a certain type of imagery to you just to throw you off. But let me let you know, homegirl, we've been teaching, we've been educating, and even though we are still young in wisdom or in mental years, we've already seen that, we've been there, we've done that, and shit, we almost got daughters at the same age as you doing the same things that you're doing. So it's like the fact that I've worked with the youth, the fact that I've worked with the teens, the fact that, you know what I'm saying, we've lived this life. Homegirl, you can't throw me off with these tactics. I done seen that same shit. I done seen it tenfold, you know? I've seen it so much where it's like, come on. All right. The next journal entry was maybe like two. Actually, the next day, you know, August 30th. So, last night, I had to hit homegirl with the Dom Kennedy Oasis lyric. The wild thing is I didn't even get the pussy. But the way I pulled up on O Girl and dipped was the key. Listen, I stepped to her ear and told her that I wanted her badly, you know? Just simple. The next time, I might have to hit her with that Camel Blues vignette from Man Design and say, I want you so bad. All right. The crew party was last night, or the all crew party was last night, and I had to low key show face in all white. I was in my all white last night. I had my scope on this Romanian bombshell. But she was literally pulled away from my engagement because her homegirl knew. And I wrote that in all caps. Her homegirl knew for a fact that it would have been over for her in 60 seconds flat if she would have let me continue talking to her. She had to pull her away. All right. Where am I at with it? Oh man, I lost my page. 60 seconds flat. Who knows what's gonna go down within the next few weeks, but I just might have a girlfriend in this bitch. I've been on a 10-year hiatus, so shit just might have to go down, you know. There's also some shorties that need to catch this work before they sign off. So sign off means before they leave the ship. So yeah, I'm gonna have to put the mask on, like my nigga Lou would say, and I need to keep a low profile and remember to separate the women from the pack. This and only this will be my determining factor to my success. All right, that was August 30th, and this is going to be for this next entry's September 1st, 2018. Let's have a conversation. I had a meeting with a man from Belize. He was playing the saxophone on the road in the middle of Belize City, and he had his own African-based company called Drums Not Guns. He spoke about how in the 50s and 60s, when he was growing up in Belize, they were about 90% black people, and they were the most literate country in the Caribbean region. Now, they are roughly 40% of the country black people, and the literacy rate has dropped tremendously. He spoke about how it's so easy to access a gun in Belize, and how there are senseless deaths amongst the younger generations, and that's directly linked to the lack of intellect and verbal technology that is needed to properly communicate. I have to agree with them. Like, as I stood there in the middle of the sidewalk and talked with them, I became happy. I was glad that I got to meet them. You know, earlier on, I was snapping photos of the streets of Belize, and I was, you know, and I started to take his picture from the other side of the road, and he dipped out. He dipped out of the camera shot, and almost as if he could see that I was going to capture a photo of him without his permission, which he did, you know, and he covered his head and he walked away. And this is why he stopped me on my walk back and asked me for a conversation. He felt that, like, at least I owed him that much. You know, I took his picture. Why can I not have a conversation with him? And that's really where I stopped with that one. with that excerpt. But I loved going to Belize because, well, I loved meeting that individual in Belize because he was powerful, you know. He spoke about the history, and he really contextualized the past concerning Belize within, like I say, 56 years. So within the past 60 or 50 years, and he really brought it to present day, and the issues that they have in Belize are the same issues that they have in the States or Central America, all over the world. You know, people are so quick to use violence, or people are so quick to get physical, but that's because they lack the verbal technology. That's because they're not aware of the intellect, or I'm not gonna say they're not aware of it. They haven't tapped into their intellect because the behaviors that they're used to have been normalized. They've been indoctrinated in the sense that the only way you can solve your problem is unless you fight somebody or shoot somebody or stab somebody. It's not like you can talk these things through, or you can plan how to fix things, or you can come up with, you know, you can devise a plan or have methods in place to come to a solution to these problems that you're faced with through conversation. So I think that's really important. I think that's terribly important. White collar boom. Welcome to the Angels and Politics podcast. This is the White Collar Goon, and I am happy to have you here. First and foremost, have you had a meal? Have you had your dinner? Okay. This excerpt from the Journal to Confections is right after the September 1st journal entry, so it's probably a day or two, or a few days afterwards. I don't have a date on this. I did have a dream the other night when I drove to the shopping center near my home. You know where the Huddle House and Walmart would normally be? But instead, there was a pizza parlor. I don't know if I was... I don't know if I was there to pick up pizza for the family or not, but as I was there, I noticed a few things. One, the pizza was supposedly really good. Two, my homie, who I grew up, I can say I grew up with, but he lived in my neighborhood growing up, was working there. His name was Lewis Johnson, and he was working there. He's normally at the 7-Eleven, or maybe his wife that normally works there at that corner location. But I don't know. In this dream, he was there at the pizza parlor. The most important piece was the manager, who was some mid-40s, beautiful brown-skinned woman who seemed to have respected my aesthetic. I don't know. But I found her gazing at me as I noticed her. And I don't know. She asked if I wanted a job. She was the manager of this pizza parlor. I laughed sheepishly and told her that I was good and thank you, I'll think about it. She then invites me out that night to some party, and I agree to that, you know. Fast forward, I'm at some outdoor venue with my boys. These are my fraternity brothers, Delonte and Derek, and we are dancing and enjoying ourselves, you know. I look up and I see the pizza lady, or the pizza lady manager, on the dance floor with some very, very attractive and younger Latina friends. And I'm making eye contact with her, and before I know it, the boss lady is on me. We're just dancing face to face, but she comes over, and as we're dancing face to face, her pelvis is grinding on my shaft. She starts licking my face, and we're just in the middle of the dance floor swapping tongues. We're just going at it. We're just kissing and just swapping tongues. She tells me that I'm coming home with her, and I tell her that I honestly would be. She tells me that I'm coming home with her, and I tell her that I honestly would be of no use since I already came. Since I came already, there's no point of me coming back home with you. I wake up from the dream and I check my box of briefs, and sure enough, shit went down. Goon. P.S. It must have been the way I looked at her tits when she removed her piece of uniform from the first day. So yeah, I don't know if that's what triggered it, but I mentioned that in the dream when I first went to this little pizza parlor near my house. I noticed my homie working there. I was aware that they had good pizza, but when I saw the manager come out from the back, in my journal, I wrote that she was looking at me, and she respected my aesthetic. But before, you know how women do, like women don't, sometimes women make a point not to look at guys or look at you in your face. Or if they do look at you, they make sure that they look at you when you're not looking at them. That type of thing. I guess it's just, there's multiple reasons why they do that. But the reason why I'm saying that is when she walked out from the back, she didn't look my way, or she didn't direct her attention towards me immediately. So the first thing I noticed was just her physique and her breast and, you know, her hair. And I was like, what is this? I'm like, bro, this is your manager? Like, this is where you work? And I guess by the fact that she witnessed me, like all women do, checking her out whilst I was talking to my boy, I guess that provided her a window to check me up and down, seeing that I was focusing my attention elsewhere. So I don't know, it's a wild dream. It was a pretty wild dream. Like, you know, it's funny how you can be abroad or you can be away from things, and like parts of your life, you know, things of your past resurface. Like my fraternity brothers who I hadn't seen in years at that time were in my dream just chilling, you know, partying with me. And I see a guy from my neighborhood who I probably haven't spoken to in almost 4 or 5 years, you know. And even when we did speak, it was like a short conversation at the 7-Eleven. And like, here he was in my dream. So it is kind of interesting how these things occur. But yeah, I remember that dream. That was a year ago, but I remember that dream. I don't remember what the lady looks like now, but it's funny because, yeah, man, at that party, she pulled up on me, and oh, I wanted her so bad, evidently too bad, because it didn't last long. So boom. Here's the next excerpt. So I spoke with a homie, Lou, today, and it's been confirmed. We were just born in the wrong era or something, because shit is crazy how these women are. My homie relates it to being Vegeta on Planet Namek when he swore that he was an ascended Saiyan, but his hair was black as fuck. I mean, like, let's be serious. I think it's more like a vibe thing. Like, I must have some sort of repelling jutsu that I've cast on myself, because the women in these streets have every excuse in the world as to why I can't get the pussy. I'm a decent human being, at least I thought. I work with kids, I thought that was admirable. I exercise almost daily. I mean, I'm not sure as to what the deal is, but there must be like an invisible cloak that trails my body that screams, make it hard for this guy. It's almost like no one is having sex. Or if they are, they're having sex with everybody else, just not me. Goon. Welcome to the Angels in the Politics podcast. This is your host, the White Collar Goon, and I am glad that you are here. This journal entry is from Journals to Confections, and the date is September 6, 2018. Listen, I don't want to be that dude, but I just might have to be. I had been lying low and keeping it professional since I got here, here being the cruise ship. But I'm getting tired of the bullshitting games. As of last night, there was an impromptu low-key rager. And I was hunting. I mean, talking shit, telling a woman indirectly that I wanted to eat her pussy. I'm talking it was like that. I mean, because of that, I don't know. Maybe I have a target on my back, particularly in the back deck. The back deck is where the bar is. I mean, I got a scope on me, for real. I got a legitimate scope on me. So last night was Saturday, and there were two young women whom I knew were signing off, leaving the ship. That was their last day. One girl had been playing games a bit, and to be honest, I wasn't too pressed. But the other girl was pretty fit. So I attempted to purchase a beer, only to find out that my card was declined. I sat back down with my colleagues and waited it out. I didn't go smack. I didn't roll up on her at the table, but when the time came, I did hit the dance floor and made my way to the target. We spoke for a bit, and when the song was over, we continued to talk. We weren't having intimate conversations, but we were relatively close in proximity. Out of nowhere, one homegirl from South Africa, who I would presume is a lesbian, by the simple fact that she was 6 foot something with broad shoulders and a stone cold menacing, I wasn't menacing, but she tried to have this like serious face, serious disposition, you know, but some big Amazonian tall strong backed woman, you know, swoops in like that of an eagle, and says something to this girl in the middle of me and her talking, and drags the girl away, claiming that she needs to talk to her. She just needs to, because you know how girls are. Now, this girl who swoops in and pulls her away knows this young lady because they both work in the same department. They both worked in the spa department. So, by the time she leaves the room and comes back, well, let's provide you with some context. When she pulls up on homegirl in the middle of me and her talking, she says, oh yeah, I just got to talk to her, I have to talk to her, and she's like pulling her away, going to the bathroom, and I'm sitting there like, you didn't have to talk to this girl, like, stop playing this. You didn't have to do that, like, you came over here because you saw what was about to happen, or you were seeing what was happening, and if I can't say homegirl was giving me rhythm. Maybe she gave a sign. Maybe she was like, look, there's going to be a dude that's going to come up to me. If you see me not feeling it, pull up on me, right? Pull up on me, take me out, right? So by the time the two ladies leave and the girl who I was initially talking to comes back from the quote unquote bathroom, she walks smooth by me only to sit back at her table that she was once at, right? I don't believe in coincidences, so I'm starting to see a pattern here, right? And I'm like, wait, am I a bad guy? Like, am I a creep? Am I trouble? You know, it's like, this happened at the crew party with the old girl from the shops that I was telling you, the Romanian bombshell. Now it's this, you know, blonde haired girl from England is getting pulled away from me. And then now, you know, it's like, it's a thing now. Like now it's officially a thing. I've been marked, bro. Like I've been marked. Not to mention that the woman who I've spent the only intimate time with on the ship, which I mentioned before in the journals, stunned on the kid on her last night. So I mentioned about this young lady from California who had a ass like a dump truck, like she had a literal spare tire on her backside, like that type of girl. I went over to her dorm once or twice and ended up with not a damn thing. So on this particular evening, she was signing off as well. So there was two different girls that were signing off on the same night. And I try to shoot my shot with both of them. And here we go. I text her on the last night to come through. And of course, she isn't with the shit. You know, so I've had to access my, or I had to not access, I had to assess my situation. What is my reality? Well, no matter where I've gone in the past 5 years, I've had significant trouble with women. And the answer isn't, it's the woman's fault. It's clearly not. Obviously, my psychology is wrong. My approach and behavior is incorrect. I've had a talk with my homegirl, and she's agreed that my ideologies and expectations of women are to my detriment. She says I shouldn't focus as much about the sex, but hone in on the pleasure of getting to know another human being. Maybe if you were more involved in the getting to know this woman process, getting comfortable with this woman process, allowing her to open up to you process, maybe you might be in a different situation when it comes to intimacy. Establishing a rapport with someone else and making a connection. I shouldn't focus on this, but being sex. But oh yeah, she was saying I shouldn't focus as much about the sex, but hone in on the pleasure of getting to know another human being. I should focus on establishing a rapport with someone else and making a connection. I need to be aware that women are much more than sexual beings. They are humans. Let's start there. And they should be acknowledged. They should be acknowledged as humans before pretty organisms that have smooth legs and long hair and sweet tasting middles. All of my setbacks have inspired me to be better. All of my setbacks have inspired me to do better. It's inspired me to come up in these fucking streets. Like, the come up is real. So yeah, I must channel this power. I must channel this defeat. I must channel this despair. I must channel this melancholy and allow it to be a part of my creativity. Go. So a few nights ago, I had this wild dream whereby my brother and I were both in the military. Like, with the full camouflage shit, like heading to boot camp type of shit, like real. I honestly wasn't too keen on the whole idea. but I kind of had an uneasy feeling about the whole thing. But anyways, my parents were driving my brother and I up this mountain to get to the military base. It was hot and in the middle of the afternoon, and going up to this place made you feel like we were in Guam or some Polynesian Pacific country. Surprisingly enough, prior to me getting up to the base, which was at the top of the mountain, I catch wind of some news from the general public or news from the general. Oh, general, like in the military. I catch wind of some news from the general saying that either my date was postponed or perhaps I was removed from the list. Maybe it was like some sort of draft. But either way, I was excited. We got up to the base and ended up turning the vehicle around to head back down to the mountain. And suddenly there was an explosion. Like, shit on the base was in flames. And we could see smoke, debris covering the sky. Like, all I could think to myself was, damn, that could have been me there.
And it should have been me there. I was so close. Like, right after that, the dream shifts to me being back home in Chesapeake. But I had the old... The dream shifts to me being back home in Chesapeake. But I had the old school fraternity brothers as neighbors. Like, you know, my homie Mawali and Michael Lowry and Eddie Dakeem. People who have been in the fraternity 10 plus years before I was, you know. These guys were grilling. They were grilling outdoors. Like, it was a nice little cookout. And it was like some massive block party. You know, later on in my dream, I found myself riding in a lawnmower, attempting to head to Greenbrier Mall. The wild part was I vividly remember my brother or father trying to fit a dog or something inside the lawnmower to ride along with me. Like, this was a red push lawnmower that had a retractable top that a full-sized person could get inside of. I know it was weird, but I didn't get too far in my neighborhood because it was too difficult to control. All right. So that was one of my excerpts from Dreamers Anonymous. Dreamers Anonymous is still in Journals to Confections. Here's the next dream that I had the following day. So last night I was having trouble sleeping. No news there. I was in and out of sleep limbo, but when I finally did get to sleep, things got interesting. So I started off in my neighborhood, but people from the ship were there. I was out front of the guy's house in my neighborhood with all the white cars with my boy John Thomas Morgan and a few other people, and we were smoking a backwood. John Thomas Morgan is a guy from South Africa who worked on the cruise ship with me, and he was in the art department. He worked in the art department, but he wasn't there long. Rhea, which was a girl from the ship, she was a CPA. She was there in my dream, but she wasn't smoking. And the pretty girl with the bangs, a.k.a. the Romanian bombshell that I mentioned, was there, but I didn't even say a word to her. Even in my dreams, I was keeping her on ice, trying to play it cool. You know, we were in some sort of session, but I can't tell you what was being discussed. The next episode of my dream shifted to my backyard, but everyone was under a tent. My family was there, and evidently Jay-Z was there too, since he brought the ribs that I couldn't eat for some reason. My elder brother had some women fall through whom I didn't know, and they seemed nice. I sat down at a table with whoever it was and began eating my food. The last part of the dream was weird. I felt like I was on some family trip in Iceland. My uncle Preston and my cousin Isaac was there. Like, either way, there was the guy from the movies, the old dad from Greenleaf, who kind of looks like Dick Gregory. Oh, yeah. Okay, so there was the guy from the movies, the old dad from Greenleaf, who kind of looks like Dick Gregory. Either way, that guy had a shit ton to say to me, and I don't know what compelled me to lunge at him, because I'm not a violent person, but I lunged at him, and that old man was strong as fuck. I mean, he ended up slinging me to the wall, and he hemmed my ass up. Like, I was standing there feeling embarrassed, being owned by this 80-year-old man, and I'm supposed to be, you know, young and in shape and this, that, and the third. Yo, he had my feet dangling in the air. Even my father had to ask me what was up and how did I let that man disrespect me like that. You know, I try to play it off by saying I didn't want to go in on the elderly man, but all in all, in reality, he got the best of me. You know, he just had the best of me, and I don't know why. Go. Dreamers Anonymous, September, is that 10th or 16th? It might be. It might be the 10th. I'm not sure where I was, but I felt like I was in the bar in my dreams. Doing what? I don't rightfully know, but I can recall getting picked up in some... derelict shopping center parking lot by my boy Vince and his mom, or his mother. The day was gloomy. Perhaps it had been raining on and off. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but that was just in the dream. Dreams are so random, dude. Like, dreams are so random. You can go to sleep and you wake up and you had like an episode. It's almost like you've sat through a movie, but the movie was your mind. your unconscious and subconscious played a film for you whilst you slept, and you wake up and you're trying to piece together what that movie was about. And like, even my dreams are like avant-garde, and they're abstract. They don't even, it's like there's not a direct narrative or storyline that like pieces these things. They're just kind of a little bit everywhere and scattered. So I don't know. This is a part of that same journal entry from the 10th of September, 2018. So, what have you learned about yourself? Well, I've learned you can't force the issue if it's not meant to be. Living abroad for 2 years and being back home for 2 years has put me in a totally different state. I must learn to not measure my success or align my confidence / self-esteem with what I do with women. At the same time, I am so attracted to the feminine. I love the psychology. I love the aesthetic. I love the smell. I love the taste of women. Well, I haven't felt or tasted shit in years. But that's besides the point. What truly makes me happy, what genuinely provides me joy. Since when did I use vices such as alcohol and weed to compensate for my happiness? Since when did the two become intertwined? Since when did I need these constituents for me to function, for me to have a social life, right? So that's that. I ended up writing right afterwards and saying, hey, you know, going into a personal story, so please follow me. So, last night I attempted to walk a person of interest back home, and it appeared... Okay, so last night I attempted to walk a person of interest back home, and it appeared that she was with it. Not with it, like down the fuck, but okay with me walking her home. I mean, my radar could have been a bit off since I finished off that bottle of Bacardi last night and moved on to some new rum that I purchased called Atlantico. I mean, your boy had the bottle tucked in the fun factory-sized bag at the bar last night, and I was pouring it under the table like it was contraband in that motherfucker. Like, be that as it may, things went along smoothly, and I was pretty buzzed, but not drunk, but you know, I was pretty buzzed. Now, unlike the Brazilian night, you know, where I was turned up, you know, there was a bit of conversation. So I requested to walk her home after she finished her beverage, and this young lady agreed. As we walked back, the conversation was light, and by the time we made it to her room,
I attempted to make a play. Making a play is like shooting your shot. She thanked me for walking her home, but as she speedily attempted to enter her room, I made one of many failing attempts to get myself in there. Of course, to no avail. Homegirl practically, no, she didn't practically do it. Homegirl slammed the door shut on me with no kiss, no hug, no form of affection. Like, my nose was this close from the door, like, slamming smooth on it, right? So what have I concluded from this? The answer is sad to say, but I have to be real with myself, and it's this. The woman out here, the women out here, can not only feel the thirst, but they can smell it on a nigga. They can smell and feel the thirst on me miles away. It's like I try to pull off that cool and laid back shit, but the God's honest truth is, I'm ready to pounce on the next piece of pussy like it's nobody's business, because it has been years since I've taken something down. Like, it hasn't been years since I've been with women. It hasn't been years since I've, you know, had some intimacy, but it's been years since I've taken it down. It's been ages since I've eaten a girl out. It's been decades since I've eaten ass. Not really decades. Well, it feels like it. So, you know, it's hard to fake the funk. It's really hard to fake the funk, because I cannot fake the funk. Faking is not what I can do. I cannot fake the funk. I'm not looking to take down a bucket. A bucket is a pejorative term for a woman, I guess, that you feel is not attractive in your standards. Please don't call women that. But the truth of the matter is, some of Hey, I'm not looking to take down a bucket, but the truth of the matter is, some of these white girls who are a bit basic are starting to look like they can catch the full package from me. That's kind of sad. Things would be so smooth if I just had a steady piece of some low-key work. That's what I need. I need some steady work. Some steady work. And that would bring me up. But I don't know. A shorty who's not on the scene, and I need a shorty who's not on the scene. I need a shorty who's about a lifestyle, but at the same time, she doesn't want the attention. She's not out there flexing. She's not out there, you know, flipping her hair for every dude and batting her eyes because she needs that, because she has low self-esteem. No, a girl like that would work wonders for me, because when I would step out and see these women, I wouldn't come off as strong. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't come across thirsty. Actually, my nuts would be light, so to speak. So my game would be more chill. My disposition would be more relaxed. I mean, I've been used as a tool to hype up. I've been used as a tool to hype up this girl's stock, because she knew that if we were on land, or, you know, if we were back home in the States, I probably wouldn't be giving her old girl no play like that. You know, I honestly got played so other girls couldn't catch this work. And at the end of the day, I still didn't get anything. I still didn't get any pussy. I've had lesbians, you know, snatch up females while speaking to them right in front of my face. I got so many forces working against me, but I haven't found the golden yet. Okay, what happened to the gold? Where are the homegirls who's about it? Where is that special homegirl who's like with the shits? Where is that shorty that where is the shorty that loves sucking dick? Where is that shorty that loves sucking dick and takes dick with a game face? I believe if I were a quiet guy, this wouldn't even be a concern. Goon.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.